the Human Art, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
Yo, maniacs, Hulk Hogan here, and you're listening to Ringside Report Radio, the only thing to listen to. So what you gonna do when Ringside runs wild on you, brother?
This is Daniel Bryan, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
This is Aaron Schick, and you're listening to the Wrestling Invention.
Reaching for the stars. I'm tired of being an idiot. They keep behind bars. What's good? You got it? I'ma take yours. I'm hood. I'm done. I break yours.
Yeah, welcome to Wrestling Uncensored. I am Dave Simon. With me tonight is Johnny North, Jeremy Prophet, taking the week off. He's been busy. As he told you last week, he's wrestling all over the place this weekend. A little bit busy is Jeremy Prophet. Johnny North wrestling all over the place as well, but we were able to hook it up and get Johnny North here tonight on TSN 990 and, of course, at www.wrestlinguncensored.net. Still follow Prophet on Twitter at Jeremy Prophet. Follow me at Dave Simon MMA. John, first of all, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Always great to be on the show, David. Always have a lot of fun with you. And it's such an exciting time right now in WWE. We have one of the biggest pay-per-views coming up here, Money in the Bank, so really excited to talk about that tonight.
Yeah, very excited for WWE Money in the Bank. And I'll tell you what, let's start with the match that is selling this pay-per-view for me, and that is the World Heavyweight Title Money in the Bank ladder match. We have now Damian Sandow, Tyson Kidd, Christian, Santino Marella, Lord Tensai, Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, and now entering this week into the match, Sin Cara, as Booker T likes to call him, an eight-man ladder match. And looking at who is in this match, the winner of this one will get a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, a Money in the Bank briefcase to cash it in whenever they want. Looking at the participants, John, I see no way that this is a bad match. And looking at who could possibly get a World Heavyweight title match among these guys, I'm very excited to see the result, and I'm very excited to see the match itself, because as I said, I don't see any way how this sucks. This is going to be fantastic.
Well, I look at it a lot how I saw last year's Money in the Bank SmackDown match, where there wasn't guys in there that were necessarily the greatest ladder match participants. You had Wade Barrett, Heath Slater. I wasn't expecting much from that match, but they ended up being like a show stealer on that one, which was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you had guys like Sin Cara, you had someone like Sheamus. They obviously helped a lot in that match, but I think you have those elements again, where you have someone like Christian, and once again, Sin Cara's in there. And Tyson Kidd, I think this is Tyson Kidd's moment to shine right now, and he knows it. So this definitely, once again, can be the show stealer of the night.
I'm definitely looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be fantastic. Taking a look at what happened between some of these participants on Raw, we had Lord Tensai and Dolph Ziggler teaming up in a tag team match on Raw to take on Christian and Tyson Kidd. Tensai and Ziggler actually won that match. Tensai hitting his big senton splash on Christian for the pinfall victory. I thought the match was very good on Raw, and I really I went crazy for the post-match beatdown on Tyson Kidd. The powerbomb from Tensai to Tyson on the ring apron was just nasty, and you know more than most, John, that part of the ring, that ring apron, is one of the hardest parts to take a bump on, and Tyson taking a vicious powerbomb from Tensai post-match there. I like the match, and I love the finish. You know, Tyson in some real peril. I think it puts the spotlight on him a little bit going into that match. And also, Lord Tensai with a big beatdown. He looks very, very impressive heading into Money in the Bank. This guy, you know, I think he's a good wrestler, and I think he's where he should be on the card. I like that that whole thing on Raw this week.
I liked it, but it did seem a little rushed. They were all in the ring already. None of them got entrances. It just seemed like that opening segment kind of cut down their time a bit, and they all had hit their moves really quickly. But they're all great competitors, so we still got an exciting match out of it. And I'm actually really happy to see that Kid and Christian took a beating, because it seems usually the people who are going under leading up to the Money in Bank match usually win it out in the end.
Yeah, and Christian seems to be going under a lot as of late. He seems to be doing a lot of jobs. He did the job again, losing. He didn't actually get pinned, but he lost another tag team match, teaming up with Santino, who is also in that Money in the Bank ladder match, again to face Dolph Ziggler, but this time Ziggler was teaming up with Cody Rhodes on SmackDown. Ziggler hitting the zigzag on Santino for the 1-2-3 there. So, you know, you're right. We're seeing Christian lose a lot. He's lost a lot, over the past couple of weeks, losing to Cody Rhodes last week, allowing Cody to get his shot in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Do you think that this may be, you know, a sign of things for Christian? Maybe, you know, he's doing a lot of jobs because he's going to win the big Money in the Bank ladder match. I mean, we've talked about it over the past few weeks leading into this one, is that, you know, you look at the past winners of the Money in the Bank, they seem to be kind of pushed down and lose a lot of matches before they finally win the big one at the Money in the Bank. So maybe that's happening for Christian. Maybe it's happening for Tyson Kidd, too.
I think it throws that element of surprise in there. It's like, who could be it? Like, it just seems odd to me that Christian, being the Intercontinental Champion, would lose so many matches. Even though he's a secondary champion, they usually don't lose that much. And the fact that he's lost quite a few matches recently leads me to believe that he's an odds-on favorite to take the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, I think it's a real possibility that Christian does become the winner of the Money in the Bank. Let's take a look at those participants. I mean, Damian Sandow, he had a nice showing on SmackDown, a squash match over Justin Gabriel. I mean, that match did not last long. Sandow hitting his neckbreaker, getting the pinfall on Justin Gabriel. He goes into the Money in the Bank match on Sunday. But I don't see Damian Sandow winning. I think it would be a huge, huge surprise if Sandow came out with the Money in the Bank ladder match. It would definitely catapult his character to new heights that we've never seen before. But I think he's a little bit too new, and I don't think they've been featuring him enough to really bring that kind of interest and really merit the Money in the Bank. So I don't think Damian Sandow will win the Money in the Bank ladder match. Tyson Kidd, you know, I think would be a great pick to win the Money in the Bank ladder match. I think that, you know, he's been on a real interesting run as of late. He's been jobbing for months and months, and then finally getting a couple of wins to get into the ladder match on Sunday. He's got a lot of support. I know a lot of our listeners love Tyson Kidd. We all love Tyson Kidd. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the company and one of the most underappreciated guys. I could see Tyson winning this. I could see Christian winning this. I could see Santino winning this as well. I mean, Santino's a very, very entertaining character. Maybe wasn't the most entertaining this past week on Raw and the whole hunt for the mystery GM, but, you know, I like Santino very much. I wouldn't be mad at Santino winning it. Lord Tensai, I think, would be real interesting, especially if Sheamus comes out as the World Heavyweight Champion. A feud between Tensai and Sheamus, I think, could be very good. Especially considering the match that Tensai and Sheamus had, I guess, about a month ago now on Monday Night Raw. So that would be pretty interesting to see. Dolph Ziggler, I mean, here's a guy just waiting for the right opportunity or waiting for the right spot. He's got all the talent in the world. He's a big guy that maximizes his minutes. He goes out there and gives you 100% every single performance, and I appreciate that. You know, he does try to steal the show every single time he's out there. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but he's trying, and you can see the effort there, and you can see that Dolph Ziggler's definitely a player to be in the WWE, so this Sunday could be his time. Sin Cara's kind of like a Damian Sandow. I wouldn't be surprised, or rather, I would be very surprised to see Sin Cara win that match just based on how he's been pushed as of late. But I wouldn't mind seeing Sin Cara win that match. I like him very much. I like Damian Sandow as well. I would not mind seeing these guys win. The only guy that I don't want to see win because I don't think he deserves it and I just don't want to see him in those big matches is Cody Rhodes. I just don't want to see Cody win. So, you know, in this match on Sunday, the Money in the Bank World Heavyweight title match, for me at least, it's anybody but Cody. If I were to make a wager on who's going to win it, I would say Tyson Kidd. Right now, I would say Tyson Kidd, just based on the big bump he took on Raw this week off that powerbomb, and based on the fact that he needs a big push. And if you're really going to push Tyson Kidd and do something with him, he just turned 32 this week. By the way, happy birthday to Tyson Kidd and happy birthday to Johnny North. But it's time. It's time for Tyson Kidd, just like it'll be time very soon for Johnny North. But, you know, Tyson's got a couple years on you, John. And for me, I would put it on Tyson Kidd. And if I were to make a wager, I would say Tyson would be getting it just based on the lead-up into this match. But I really wouldn't be mad at any of the winners other than Cody Rhodes.
Well, first off, David, thank you very much for the happy birthday wishes there. I appreciate that. Second, I agree with a lot, but one thing I disagree with is the Cody Rhodes part, how you don't think Cody Rhodes has a chance. I don't think you could ever count out a son of a wrestler.
Well, yeah, no.
Especially someone who they've been building. He was Intercontinental Champion.
Yes.
They want to push him to that next level. This is a match to do it in.
Yes. Oh, yeah. John, I'm not saying Cody Rhodes doesn't have a chance. I'm saying he very well has a chance because he's been pushed to this level already. I think Cody's been over-pushed for the amount of talent that he has. And, you know, I think that there were points in his career where he's shown great hope and great promise for the future. I think he's shown real glimpses of some talent. But overall, I've been unimpressed with Cody Rhodes, especially as of late. I really haven't seen anything that has made him stand out. I think he's a very solid performer. I think that he's okay in the ring. He gets the job done. He hits his mark, but he's very boring. He's very bland. And you know, like Jeremy Prophet says, you know, Cody Rhodes wrestles like he's a super heavyweight, and it doesn't really make sense given the size. So his wrestling, you know, it's not always that realistic. And as far as charisma goes, the dude has zero charisma. And I think that's a real, real problem with Cody Rhodes, is that, okay, he's solid in the ring, but when it comes down to charisma, his character, and cutting promos, there's nothing there. And that's why I would rather any of the other guys in that match over Cody Rhodes, because I think that there's more potential and it would be more fun to see any of those other guys compete for the World Heavyweight title rather than Cody Rhodes. I mean, you can't legitimately tell me that you want to see Cody Rhodes versus Sheamus at SummerSlam.
Definitely don't really want to see that match. That match is not exciting whatsoever. However, I do believe we're going to see Christian Cody, regardless who wins. I think that's going to continue because I think they like to have Christian help elevate Cody in terms of his wrestling and in promos too. I think Christian could bring Cody to a whole new level in terms of promos.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Christian could definitely be used to elevate Cody, but I don't think Cody is elevated enough to go up for the World Heavyweight Championship right now. I don't think he's ready. I think he might be one day, but I don't think he is now. And I think that everybody else in that match could potentially be ready. I think Santino Marella proved at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in February that he could be ready for the World Heavyweight title. I think Tensai, you know, he's an interesting character. He's been getting it done in the ring. Maybe he was pushed a little bit too far to begin with, but I think he would be an interesting monster to go up against Sheamus. I think that Christian would have great matches with either Sheamus or potentially Alberto Del Rio, whoever comes out a world champ. You know, Damian Sandow would be an interesting opponent for Sheamus. Tyson Kidd, I think, would be a fantastic opponent for Alberto Del Rio. You know, I mean, I think a lot of it will depend on, you know, does Del Rio, the heel, come out as champion? Does Sheamus, the babyface, come out as champion? I'm kind of under the impression that Del Rio might come out as world champion and we'll see a babyface winner of this Money in the Bank ladder match, which makes me think that it's most likely going to be a guy like Tyson Kidd, Christian, or Santino, as or Sin Cara. You know, maybe Sin Cara versus Del Rio for the World Heavyweight title, though I'd be surprised. John, if you were to make one pick, who is your odds-on favorite to win it? I said that mine is Tyson Kidd, although, man, it could go either way. But if I were to pick a winner right now based on the build-up, I'd be going with Tyson.
Well, I really want Christian to win this because I think this would really help elevate Christian to main event status. Like, he was World Heavyweight Champion, but never really a true main eventer. I think a win Money in the Bank, and he'd become a main event player finally. I really want Christian to win this. I think he needs to win this, in a sense, because he has just been stuck in the mid-card, and they need to elevate him with this match.
I think it would be tough for Christian to be the Money in the Bank winner and also be the Intercontinental Champion. Like, he already has something, and to me, they're going to give it to someone who doesn't have a title already. Like, I don't think Santino's going to win, necessarily, because he's the United States Champion. And then they would have to drop their belts before challenging for the next one, which would kind of weaken them while they're going on the run for the bigger title.
Well, that's why, in the end, like, as much as I want Christian to win, I think it's going to go to Ziggler. Because Ziggler needs this to put himself back in the main event. He's lost the World Heavyweight Champion numerous times. He needs an edge. And the win Money in the Bank will give him the edge. So I find it's been Cody, Ziggler, and it was a bit of the Miz at first, too. You could tell in the Rumble, these were the top guys that were going to push this year. And I think Ziggler is going to take Money in the Bank.
How about Tyson Kidd, though? I mean, this push has kind of come out of nowhere. Do you think it's just a push for Tyson because they know he's going to be good in this match and they won't do anything with him past this? I mean, what does this mean for Tyson Kidd? I figure if you're going to reboot Tyson Kidd, you're going to do something with him. Do it now.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. I think Tyson Kidd, again, is probably the best technical wrestler right now in WWE, and that says a lot, considering there's Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, but I think Tyson Kidd is still the best. So I would push Tyson Kidd. I would definitely push him up there. To me, it just seems like the main event is way too early right now. They could still put him up there against the second-tier champions, but I definitely hope Tyson Kidd continues his strong momentum that he's building.
I would love to see Tyson Kidd get that briefcase. I think it would just be phenomenal. You know, speaking of Tyson Kidd, after that match, after he took that powerbomb from Tensei, Vicky Guerrero was looking at Lord Tensei like, hey, I should be your manager. What do you think about having Vicky as Tensei's manager? I think it would be great because, you know, we've said it from the beginning, this guy hasn't cut a promo. No one speaks for this guy. He's got Sakamoto or Hakamoto or whatever this guy's name is in his corner, and he doesn't cut promos. Tensei doesn't cut promos. He just yells in Japanese. This guy needs somebody to speak for him. I think it should be Vicky Guerrero.
Well, another thing, too, Vicky draws so much heat. Imagine if Tensei came out with Vicky. He would easily be one of the monster heels. Just on the reaction, he comes out alone with Vicky. Easily one of the top heel heats. So I think it's a no-brainer almost to finally do this. However, then there's Ziggler. So what are they going to do with him? Because clearly he doesn't seem to work well with others. You saw with Jack Swagger. It's all about Ziggler. So something's going to give there, I think.
I think at some point you should turn Dolph Ziggler babyface, but I don't know if they're going to do that. I think there's a lot to do with Dolph Ziggler, but I don't know. As his current role, I just don't see him going further. I think that he could be a bigger star as a babyface.
Yeah, but the thing is, like you said, it's a little too early. I think they got to give it some time, a little bit of a build, and it's not something that WWE created. It's something that the fans have slowly turned towards Ziggler just because of his great performances lately. But it's not what WWE had planned. So if they do it, I imagine there's going to be like a long-term storyline towards that.
How about Sin Cara? He's had a pretty interesting week. He did a job to Alberto Del Rio on SmackDown, But I thought the match was very competitive, a very good match, and it was, you know, some revenge for Del Rio's beatdown of Sin Cara last week. Now Sin Cara getting back, getting a real match with Del Rio. I thought the match was very good. Del Rio did get him to tap out to the cross arm breaker after Sin Cara missed a swanton from the top rope, but it was a really good competitive match, and this comes on SmackDown right off the heels of his Raw match, where he got a pretty quick win over Heath Slater to qualify for the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match. Sin Cara has had quite a week.
I think it's very similar to the whole Christian against Sin Cara from last year, where Christian needed that win going up against Randy Orton. Like, Sin Cara is a great person to help push a main event guy, because you actually believe Sin Cara could pull it off, because he seems to almost always win. So I think that really helped Del Rio, just giving that little extra momentum going into his match. Quite possibly one of the biggest matches of his career, because this match with him and Sheamus has been building for quite a while, quite a few months now. Him against Sheamus one-on-one. Really, this is Del Rio's moment to shine right now.
Yeah, definitely. This is a big, big moment for Alberto Del Rio. A huge match for him. I mean, the build-up for this Sheamus-Del Rio match has been going on for a while. They were supposed to wrestle at No Way Out, but Del Rio suffering, I guess what they're calling an injury. Ziggler stepped in as a late replacement. But now we're finally going to have this match on Sunday. I expect a fantastic match. I think these two guys are two of the best wrestlers in all of professional wrestling. Del Rio having a really good week, too, getting the win there over Sin Cara, attacking Sheamus to end SmackDown. You know, Sheamus having a great week as well. I mean, I've been really happy with the build to this match. I think it's going to be a great match, and I think the build has been fantastic. And I also think Del Rio could possibly become the new World Heavyweight Champion here.
I think Sheamus has had a pretty healthy title run so far. It's just he hasn't really faced much competition, really. A lot of guys are smaller than him, so it kind of looks like he's just pushing around the little guys all the time. I don't think that's helped him too much, but Del Rio seems like a legitimate threat to him. So you got to wonder, too, like, is this going to draw, like, drag on a bit more? Because they could do that, too, with SummerSlam. A lot of matches seem to carry over from last year. They could do that again.
Yeah, I could definitely see a rematch, perhaps, at SummerSlam, but maybe it'll be Sheamus cashing in his rematch clause. You know, I could see Del Rio winning the World Heavyweight title. I kind of think that Del Rio will win the title from Sheamus this Sunday.
Well, what makes it interesting is that it's been so long building this match that it really could go either way. And Del can beat. He can beat Sheamus with the armbar. It's possible. You believe in it. So anything could happen in this one. I definitely think a championship will change hands at Money in the Bank.
Either the WWE title or the World Heavyweight title.
Money in the Bank is such a big pay-per-view now that it really seems like a major event has to happen. Besides the Money in the Bank briefcases, I could see a championship change hands for sure.
And both those briefcase matches, you know, major events as well. I mean, it gives you a title shot, and correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone who has ever won a Money in the Bank briefcase has gone on to become champion.
Yeah, everyone's done it, and some people do it on that exact pay-per-view. So it could happen again. However, Del Rio was stopped from trying to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase from Punk last year. So not everyone's successful in trying to attempt it. But everyone's successful is once a match is started, they always win.
Yeah, once you actually do the cash-in, you win. No one has ever lost. So, you know, these two Money in the Bank ladder matches tomorrow night are going to be very, very important for the whole world of professional wrestling. Sheamus, though, having a really good week, squashing Jack Swagger, taking pretty much, you know, a couple minutes to beat Swagger, hitting a brogue kick, hitting the 1-2-3, and then I think match of the week in the WWE this week, Sheamus versus Chris Jericho, a fantastic 12-minute match to main event SmackDown. Sheamus hitting Jericho with the brogue kick for the pinfall. just back and forth, fantastic bumps taken by both men. If you haven't seen Chris Jericho versus Sheamus from SmackDown this week, do yourself a favor and go check it out. By far, the best match put on in the WWE this week was Sheamus versus Jericho. Just great stuff, and really, you can't expect a bad match when you have Sheamus versus Chris Jericho. I mean, I knew that match going into watching SmackDown this week was going to be fantastic, and they gave them enough time that it was fantastic. It was just great. A lot of false finishes, great stuff from Jericho, reversing different moves into the Walls of Jericho, and Sheamus fighting out of it. Really back and forth, really made you believe that both men were going to win at different times during the match. Which is exactly what you want. A great story told, great athleticism, a lot of good violence. It was as close to a perfect wrestling match as you can get on Friday Night SmackDown. Just great stuff from Sheamus, who could be a future Hall of Famer, and to Chris Jericho, who is definitely going to be a WWE Hall of Famer.
I really hope Jericho has a great showing at Money in the Bank, because unfortunately, Jericho is someone who hasn't really gotten much over the last couple of weeks. He's gone under quite a bit, and I can't remember actually the last time he's won a match. So I really hope Jericho does well at Money in the Bank. I can't believe he'll win, unfortunately, but I really hope he does well. I mean, this is the match he created, so I would hope he has something interesting planned for Sunday night.
Yeah, I want to get to that match in just a minute. Of course, the WWE title Money in the Bank match, Big Show, Jericho, Kane, and John Cena. John Cena competing in his first ever Money in the Bank match. To end SmackDown, though, Alberto Del Rio attacking Sheamus, giving him that cross arm breaker, arm bar there that he does. And that's how the match ended. Do you think maybe Sheamus will sell the injury? He's won twice now this week, looking very strong going into the pay-per-view. Del Rio looking strong as well, though, picking up that win over Sin Cara on SmackDown. But it was Del Rio on top, putting a hurting on Sheamus. Do you think maybe Sheamus will sell that injury going into tomorrow night, sell the arm injury, and help lead to Alberto Del Rio becoming World Heavyweight Champion? Because I kind of think that's going to happen.
I think WWE put themselves in a great spot here, where Sheamus is protected. Even if he loses, there's a reason behind it. His arm was injured going into the match, and he battled bravely, and he lost. But I could also see Sheamus come out and win, because Sheamus has overcome the odds before. So,
yeah.
Either way, Sheamus, I think, is going to look good regardless.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think, either way, I think we're going to get a great match, which is all I'm really asking for. This pay-per-view looks very, very good, top-to-bottom match-wise, because on paper, it's just we're getting great wrestlers and great matches, especially, you got both title matches. You got Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio, two of the best in the game right now, and CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, two more of the best in all of professional wrestling. You really can't argue with this card. I mean, the SmackDown World Heavyweight title, Money in the Bank match, the Raw one as well. This card is very, very good.
Really, a lot depends on the Money in the Bank matches. I think that's going to make or break the pay-per-view. If the Money in the Bank matches are great, people are going to think this is one of the best pay-per-views. But if they don't deliver, it's not going to seem so great. So a lot depends on those matches.
I have a hard time believing that that World Heavyweight title Money in the Bank match will not deliver. I mean, I don't know what to expect out of Sheamus Del Rio necessarily. I'm expecting a good match, but you never really know. But with this SmackDown Money in the Bank match, I can't see it being bad at all. I really am expecting something that we'll be talking about for years to come.
It could be. If you look at it, Money in the Bank has great history now, thanks to that CM Punk-John Cena match. A lot of people expect big things from Money in the Bank. So are we going to have one of those shocking, must-see moments again? I definitely think the ladder matches are going to deliver, but you got to wonder about the title matches, too. There's a lot of controversy building up to all those matches. What will happen?
And maybe we'll see somebody who wins some money in the bank cash it in later that night. That'd be pretty crazy. John Cena winning the Money in the Bank match, cashing it in on CM Punk. That'd be some wild stuff, right?
If you think about it, Money in the Bank pretty much sets off what's going to happen for the rest of the year almost. Because the Money in the Bank winner is like one of the most featured competitors in WWE afterwards. So you always wonder what's going to happen next with them. They're pretty much got the spotlight on them all the time because the champion's always worried when are they going to cash it in.
Yeah, I like the concept of Money in the Bank. We got to thank Chris Jericho for inventing it, and you know, I think it's always very, very interesting to watch those matches and to see who comes out on top, and you really see who's going to get pushed long term in the WWE. Speaking of getting pushed and maybe not getting pushed, Jack Swagger losing to Sheamus very cleanly on Raw this week. Swagger is just getting destroyed on WWE TV. Here's a guy who just does nothing but lose.
Well, it's sad because you look at Jack Swagger, considering he has amateur wrestling background, and you think with his size that he'd be one of the top stars in WWE. But sadly, I think a lot of it goes to his lack of charisma, really. Like, he just doesn't deliver when it comes to promos. They gave him Vicky, but still, like, he didn't seem to deliver, like, that top-notch performance that they were looking for. So it's really a sad case right now because it just seems that he's in that kind of Drew McIntyre-like status right now where he pretty much just loses all the time. Like, he'll lose the opening matches all the time now. And it doesn't seem like he's going to go anywhere for a long time, unfortunately.
Well, at least Drew McIntyre is on NXT and is one of the eight men in the NXT, first ever NXT championship tournament. They're going to crown a champion of NXT, and Drew McIntyre is in the tournament. I love the concept because this was something I was talking about a couple weeks ago. Watching NXT, it really is its own brand. They film the tapings out at Full Sail University in Florida. It's its own entity. And really, there's a bunch of matches, but no real reason to watch and no real understanding of who is supposed to be the top guy on the show. And I was thinking, they got to have a champion over there. They got to crown some sort of champion. And they realized that as well, and now there's going to be an NXT champion. Should Swagger go down to NXT and just start smoking guys? I wouldn't think that it would be the worst idea. Maybe he'd get better as a professional wrestler, change his gimmick a little bit, cut promos, be more comfortable, and just dominate over there. And maybe he could come back to the WWE after a few months and be a better performer. I mean, they're sending McIntyre down to FCW or NXT or whatever you're going to call it now, you know? I think that, you know, Jack Swagger wouldn't be a bad idea, too.
It seems like quite the demotion for that to happen, but at this rate, it has to happen almost because it's just becoming an embarrassment seeing him lose pretty much on Raw and SmackDown. Doesn't matter to who. He has absolutely no credibility whatsoever now. So I think maybe NXT would be a great reboot for him. Maybe repackage him in some capacity. I think there's still potential in Jack Swagger, but unfortunately right now WWE does not see that.
And Drew McIntyre, you know, as we're talking about him, he got squashed by Brodus Clay this week on Raw. SummerSlam, Brodus Clay versus Ryback. Make it happen, WWE. Both of these guys are just going through low-level jabronis. Ryback beat Tyler Rex on SmackDown this week. Let's do it. Ryback, Brodus, SummerSlam. You want to make it the biggest card of the summer? Put that match on there. I guarantee you, you have, say, John Cena versus CM Punk for the WWE title, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus in a rematch, and Brodus Clay versus Ryback. I think you have a real interesting SummerSlam.
I don't know if Brodus against Ryback would generate that much heat, though, because they're both popular babyfaces right now. I just don't see people like hating either or. And also, work rate-wise, they're far from the best. I mean, it could be Goldberg, Lesnar back in that sense. So I would rather see someone like Pense involved in that. Maybe even the Big Show. Maybe make it a tag match. Like Clay and Ryback against like Show and Pense. Like, that'd be interesting. Like, that would make it huge. That match would be, I think, one of the biggest matches, weight-wise. But yeah. I don't know about a singles match. Like, I understand they're two unstoppable monsters. There's kind of, you know, an interesting element to that, but I just don't see the match-wise, I don't see a lot of interest in that.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. I mean, match-wise, I understand. It won't be great. It won't be a classic. It won't be D-Bry versus CM Punk, but I think it would just be interesting booking-wise to see that and see what they would do. It'd just be fun, and I think it would help sell the pay-per-view, though. I think you would look at that and say, well, how is this going to end? And sometimes that's all you need. You don't need a five-star classic in every match. Sometimes you just want two guys in there, and you want to sell it based on, well, how will this finish?
It's definitely interesting who would win. I definitely agree with you on that one. Like, who would take that one? Clay or Ryback? Like, honestly, I think Ryback seems more unstoppable because we have seen Clay get humbled by the Big Show. And Ryback, you know, he's won two-on-one matches. He could probably win three-on-one matches. So I'd probably give the edge to Ryback. But it is interesting to see, like, how would they go with it? Clay, I think, definitely has a lot more charisma. So as an entertainer, you know, you could see Clay being a little bit more interesting. But I think Ryback, pure power, is going to take it in the end, if they ever do that match.
Yeah, that's why. You know, it'd just be interesting to see how the WWE would book it and who they would decide to go with, and I think it would help sell the pay-per-view. I tell you what, John, we got to help sell this show and, you know, other things. We got to take a commercial break here on TSN 990. WrestlingUncensored.net is our website. We're going to come back and get to a lot more pro wrestling. We'll tell you what we think about CM Punk, AJ, and Daniel Bryan, the WWE title match, and The Rock, the great one, finally coming back to Raw. We'll tell you when we come back. It's Wrestling Uncensored. Stay with us.
ABM is pulled over by the boys dressed blue. They have their guns drawn, screaming, just smooth. Or is there something else you suggest we can do? He made his way to the trunk, opened it like, a treasure chest was removed. Cops said he'll be back next month, but we call corrupt, he called paying dues. Now when the rules is blurred, as they is and were, what am I to do? But pray the Lord forgive me, pray guys me by what a
special request for number one.
Yeah. Here it is.
This is Christopher Daniels, and the Gospel According to the Fallen Angel says that you are listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
This is Bruno Sammartino, and you're listening to the Ringside Report.
This is the Innovator of Violence, the Extreme Original, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wrestling Uncensored. Keep listening. Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
I ride out for my PNC, my family tree. We have the thing set up from how long? We come to ram up the dance. You don't know the things they love from we step across. From we touch the stage, that's when the niceness start. Promoter and his friend, them a laugh.
Oh, yeah, welcome back. This is Wrestling Uncensored. WrestlingUncensored.net is our website. We are on the air every Saturday night here on TSN 990 in Montreal. Johnny North, a lot of pro wrestling still to get to. Of course, a big weekend in the game. WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view going down tomorrow night. But before we get back to the WWE, I just want to send a shout-out to TNA Wrestling, making, I think, the best move they have made in months, perhaps years, for their company. This past week at TNA Destination X, Austin Aries hits his brainbuster to beat Robert Roode and become the new TNA World Champion. I think Austin Aries is the best thing going right now in TNA wrestling, and I am very pleased for him. I'm very pleased for TNA wrestling, and I'm very pleased for the wrestling business that we get to see now Austin Aries as the TNA World Champ. I think he's a great talent, and I'm very happy to see it. Also, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, what a match. I thought, hey, AJ Daniels, what can they do that I have never seen before? And they did it. AJ hitting his Styles Clash from off the stage through a table, sending Daniels face first through that table. A sick finish to their last man standing match. TNA Destination X, I gotta say, it was pretty good. And a big surprise there, and a very good main event, seeing Austin Aries win the TNA World title. So maybe TNA starting to turn things around.
Well, I think they've seen the change that WWE made. I think they saw the popularity of CM Punk. I think they saw the similarities in Aries and Punk, and they decided, oh, we have our own Punk with Austin Aries. So I like change. It's just I wonder how far it can go, though. Like, I don't think it'll have the same impact that CM Punk has had in WWE.
Will it have the same impact that AJ has had in the WWE? AJ opening up Raw with a very long promo that I thought was too long, and I think was the worst thing that we've seen so far from AJ and this whole storyline. And I got to say, it's tremendously disappointing going into the pay-per-view. I thought, you know, all the momentum that this AJ Punk Daniel Bryan storyline had, I think was dropped this week. I think it was just they're trying to find ways for AJ to remain neutral between Punk and Bryan, and it just didn't make any kind of sense to me, and wasn't very good, and wasn't entertaining in the least. AJ proposing marriage to CM Punk, Daniel Bryan then coming out and interrupting, saying to AJ that Punk doesn't love her. Then Daniel Bryan proposing marriage to AJ. AJ saying she would walk out of the arena with her next husband. Then the mysterious Raw GM who was back, that we'll talk about in a minute. The GM made CM Punk and AJ into a tag team to face Daniel Bryan and Eve Torres in the main event. Punk and AJ won, though, as AJ beat Eve when Daniel Bryan refused to accept Eve's tag, helping AJ win, really, and allowing her to attack Eve from behind and get the win. Punk then cutting a promo after the match, telling AJ he would not marry her. AJ slapping both CM Punk and Daniel Bryan to close Raw to remain neutral, as she will be the special guest referee in their match for the WWE title tomorrow night. You know, this whole marriage thing, I think, is maybe not the worst idea they came up with. I just think the execution was sorely lacking. You talked earlier about how the Christian and Tyson Kidd tag team against Ziggler and Tensei, how that was rushed, how they had no entrances. I think because the segment before them, the AJ promo, just went way overtime. It was way too long. And I think a really bad way to start Raw. It was just flat out not good. And I don't think it added any amount of intrigue into the pay-per-view match. I just hope we have a clear and conclusive finish to this whole AJ storyline on Sunday. Because I think after seeing it on Monday night, you know, I've been a big proponent of this storyline over the past few weeks. But I think that it has run its course. And it should end on Sunday because I'm over it.
I admit, like, I was quite surprised on Raw when she proposed to CM Punk. It's not something you really ever see, like a woman propose to a man. Like, there was tons of shock value just in that alone. And some things that she said, too, were quite shocking, how CM Punk turns her on. Like, that was interesting they'd say that in a PG world.
Right.
But still, like, it just seems that AJ, like, even after the WWE Championship, she will still be the center of attention, I think. Maybe she'll have a different storyline, but I definitely think AJ is going to be a top star in WWE for a long time.
I would just rather it be in the Divas division, you know, taking on Layla or something. Use this to catapult her into something in the Divas division rather than continue with this Daniel Bryan CM Punk feud. I would like to see some kind of resolution of the Daniel Bryan CM Punk feud on Sunday. I think that this whole thing with AJ, it's run its course, and I think that whoever wins on Sunday will move on and then do something else at SummerSlam. I don't see a rematch, Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk, at SummerSlam unless, you know, they're doing some sort of Iron Man or maybe a submissions match, I guess, but I'd be surprised to see them wrestle again at SummerSlam. And I kind of would like it, you know, a little break. I think their matches have been great, but let's move on to some different things because this AJ thing, it's done. It's over.
I think the only way you get another big money match out of them is if Daniel Bryan wins. Because then if he takes the championship, then that changes the whole situation. And then you have Punk have to come back for the rematch. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. I think AJ is going to show a huge difference in emotion. Like, she'll be all over the place, I think. She'll be happy, she'll be sad. But again, you're always going to be wondering, what is she really thinking? Because she always seems to be neutral in the end. So I think in the end, it's still going to be that way. We're still not really going to understand, but we're just going to understand that AJ got her way, as it has been the last 2 weeks on Raw.
Or maybe, you know, AJ is with someone else on the roster that we don't know about. Maybe, you know, maybe we see John Cena win the Money in the Bank and he cashes in and then AJ leaves with John Cena. You know, she's looking for a husband. John Cena just got a divorce. It's a perfect match.
Yeah, that would throw things around a bit. I don't see John Cena getting involved with any females on screen for a while now, I think. I think WWE realizes that Cena has his own personal problems that he's dealing with. Yeah. They don't need to escalate it by doing something on television.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Who do you see coming out on top of this match? How do you see this all going down? I think that CM Punk will come out of it still WWE champion. I don't know how AJ's going to play into it, though, and I will admit that I am interested to see how AJ will act as a special referee. Will she call it down the middle? How's it going to go?
I think Brian's going to bully her. I think that's what's going to come down to. He's going to tell her what to do, and eventually she's going to have enough. And I think that's going to be the difference in the end. It's unfortunate in a sense that it really doesn't come down to, like, who is the best between the two, because there was still unfinished business from two matches. And it's a shame in a sense you'll never get a clear-cut victor, at least on a pay-per-view. But AJ is the main focus here, so whatever happens, it has to end with AJ looking the strongest.
Yeah, I think that it's very possible that AJ does, you know, maybe turn babyface through all this, that Daniel Bryan does say, come on, AJ, do this, do that, and then AJ slaps him, and then, you know, Bryan turns around, gets kicked in the face by Punk, and gets pinned 1-2-3. I could see that happening very much, as it seems like if they're trying to push her in one direction or another, I think that they want to push her on the babyface side. I mean, you look at what happened on Raw, it was AJ as the babyface against Eve Torres as the heel, right? I mean, AJ was on the babyface team, she was on Team Punk, against Daniel Bryan and Eve Torres. So it seems to me like if there's one direction WWE wants to go, I think they want to make you think that she could be a babyface, she could be a heel, but I think eventually they want to make her into a babyface.
Well, I think they look at it in the terms of, like, what's going to make the most money. And I think people liking AJ is going to make more money because then she'll sell more merchandise, and people will be interested in seeing more of her matches because she's such a likable character. I think there's always more money in baby faces, especially if you're a diva. There's no real strong diva baby face besides Layla right now. So I think AJ, they need AJ in a sense to be a top face.
Speaking of divas, rumors are going around that Karma, who is still under contract to the WWE, she actually appeared at the Royal Rumble and then hasn't appeared since. There are rumors that she's been given her release from World Wrestling Entertainment, which I don't understand at all. I mean, they seem to be getting rid of a lot of their diva talent recently. They get rid of Maxine, the Bellas a couple of months ago, and now Karma.
I think with Karma, I think it's just on an unfortunate incident, really. It just, she got pregnant, and that messed up a lot of plans they had. So I think they had some plans going in again, and something happened after the Rumble they weren't happy about, and unfortunately got canned again. I mean, that can really hurt when you lose, when they give you two chances like that, and then you lose it. They really sometimes just give up on you in a sense, and I think that's kind of what's happened here. I think it's very, very unfortunate, because I think Karma had so much to give. She could almost redefine the Diva division, and unfortunately now it's not ever going to be.
Yeah, very disappointing. I thought she would be great in the WWE Divas division, and hopefully she does get brought in at some point. How about Bob Backlund showing up, beating up Heath Slater? I thought Bob Backlund looked fantastic for his age.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad it wasn't a match. I think it's better to keep these segments short. Yeah. I think they learned from Sid that they don't need to have a match to make it entertaining. DDP, too. Like, he doesn't need to have a match. The Diamond Cutter, and that's great. It's interesting to see Backlund, because he was actually a huge part of Raw for a while. When he came back as Mr. Bob Backlund, I remember that. That was really entertaining. I mean, it was nice to see Backlund again. I hope we see him again soon.
62 years old. I mean, this guy still looking in top shape. Maybe we'll see him again at the 1,000th episode of Raw. They're looking at pulling out all the stops. Brock Lesnar already advertised. Shawn Michaels, perhaps Undertaker even showing up. But we found out this week that the great one, The Rock, the People's Champ, will be back on Monday Night Raw, not this Monday, but the following Monday for the 1,000th episode of Raw. And he also said something about the WWE title. Could we see The Rock wrestle for the WWE Championship on July 23rd at the 3-hour 1,000th Raw extravaganza?
I don't know if we'll see The Rock compete for the WWE Championship on Raw, but I could see him confronting the WWE champion. More than likely CM Punk, I think. And that could be extremely entertaining to see that, have those two go against each other in promos. I think that could be bigger than Punk Cena on promos alone.
Yeah, I think that those promos would be phenomenal between Punk and The Rock. And I think it could be some real interesting television. I mean, who knows? Maybe Rock beats CM Punk for the title that night, and then John Cena cashes in and gets a win back over The Rock to become new champion. That would be pretty crazy, right?
I think it'd be very interesting to see John Cena, Money in the Bank champ, and then have The Rock against CM Punk. Just having that match alone, everyone would be thinking John Cena. Right away.
Yeah.
So I think it just adds another element to that match. It makes it more exciting to watch, because it's not just that match. It's also, what is John Cena going to do? Because definitely it just feels like it's not finished yet. I know they say once in a lifetime, John Cena and The Rock, but it just feels like that match will happen again in some capacity.
I think so, too. And if it's not going to happen at SummerSlam, maybe it'll happen on the 1,000th episode of Raw. Maybe it'll happen at WrestleMania, at the next WrestleMania. I don't really know, but I, like you, expect for a rematch between Cena and The Rock. As they say, there's always, always more money in the rematch. Speaking of John Cena, he teamed up with Kane this week, which I thought was kind of weird, considering, you know, before he was feuding with The Rock leading into Mania, he was feuding with Kane, and Kane was telling Cena to embrace the hate, but now Kane has been turned into a babyface for absolutely no reason. A Big Show and Chris Jericho teamed to take on Cena and Kane. That ended in a DQ. Big Show pulling Cena out of the ring after Cena had Chris Jericho down on the mat in a pinfall after hitting his attitude adjustment. First, Cena and Kane. I mean, I understand Kane, I guess, is a babyface now, but has there ever been someone in WWE history that has gone back and forth more between heel and a babyface with no explanation than Kane? Because I don't think there has been.
I think it was that kiss weakened Kane's heart and made him softer, I guess, when AJ kissed him, you know, like, it made him rethink the way he looks at it. I definitely see WWE just coming up with an excuse like that out of nowhere to explain everything. Like, that's usually what happens. It happened with Christian, just out of nowhere, a face, and, you know, he wants to be like Edge. I mean, they'll just make up whatever they have to just so, you know, that's how the situation will fit. Because sometimes they just do that. They just will have to change it up like that. It hurts that Randy Orton left, I think. It really just left a hole, and they needed another face.
So you think Kane has just taken up the spot of Randy Orton as one of the top baby faces in the company right now?
As you said, if they want Kane to be a heel, he'll wrestle against the faces next week. Like, it doesn't really matter with Kane, unfortunately. It hurts Kane a lot because you can't get behind someone who just will just do whatever he wants. It's kind of cool to some people that he just, you know, is a badass. But he's not really a badass because he gets his ass kicked all the time now.
Yeah. As he did, Big Show beating him up, beating Chris Jericho up as well after that match, just smashing him up with ladders. But then John Cena, of course, he hit the ring, knocked Big Show over the top rope with a ladder shot. Cena then posing for a while with a ladder, which was just ridiculous. That pose down there after that match, what was that?
Well, again, they just wanted to make him look strong. I don't think they had a lot of ideas going into that one. Like, I don't see Big Show coming out the victor in Money in the Bank. It's going to be hard enough him just climbing the ladder. I'm sure they'll have a couple of spots where it's just him doing his best to climb the ladders, but there's no way. I just can't see Big Show walking out with the Raw briefcase.
As wide open as the World Heavyweight title Money in the Bank match is, and anybody can really win, I'm as convinced that John Cena is going to win the WWE title one. I don't think that Jericho's going to win it. I don't think Kane's going to win it. I don't think Big Show's going to win it. I think Big Show has a second best chance, but it seems clear to me it's John Cena's first Money in the Bank ladder match, and John Cena will win his first Money in the Bank ladder match.
I think it's a real shame because I've liked how Kane has progressed in his matches lately. I've been really excited watching Kane wrestle. Like,
yeah.
They're always really intriguing to watch. Regardless that it doesn't make sense why he's a face now, he's been putting on a great showing, like, as of late. I'd really like to see him win, but again, it doesn't make any sense that he'd win the match. So, unfortunately, yeah, John Cena's going to win because John Cena said it. He has to win it. He says he's going to win it. So it's something John Cena has yet to accomplish, so John Cena needs to do it.
And I think he definitely will. I mean, it seems to me very clear that Cena will win that match. And then I think it'll be John Cena coming out the next night on Raw or maybe on the 1,000th episode to make it official. But I think it will be John Cena versus CM Punk at SummerSlam. I think Cena will cash it in at SummerSlam and do it that way. He won't, you know, blindside CM Punk and just cash it in whenever after a Punk match or something. I think that he'll, you know, be honorable John Cena and tell Punk on Raw that SummerSlam, that's when he wants it. He wants a match, and I think they're going to do it that way. I think they're going to do the rematch from last year's SummerSlam. It'll be Cena and Punk again this year at SummerSlam, which I think is interesting, and I'm into it.
I think it works because if you remember last year's, it wasn't a clear-cut finish. Like, Cena had his foot on the ropes, but Triple H counted the three. So Cena can always go back to that he never really lost the match, or he shouldn't have lost the match. So they can play off that. And they can also play off the fact, it's something Eve said to CM Punk on Raw, that CM Punk is always overshadowed. Whether it's The Rock or whether it's John Cena in one of his main events, CM Punk is not the featured attraction. So I think just off that alone, you can sell the match.
But once again, this SummerSlam, CM Punk would not be the featured attraction on pay-per-view. It would be, you know, the return of Brock Lesnar and the return of Triple H. Those guys going one-on-one. You got to figure, right?
I really think that could go either way. Like, I think those two matches are the last matches. I mean, whether it's Punk and Cena at the end or Triple H and Lesnar at the end, like, they're definitely the main events going to be selling the pay-per-view. They're going to be on the box cover of the DVD. Like, those matches are selling it. It's not just one match in particular.
And it's definitely a huge pay-per-view. They got to have some big matches. And, you know, I think Punk and Cena would be one of those big matches. Big Show has looked really strong, though, going into it. Absolutely squashing the Great Khali. One punch, the WMD, Big Show's knockout punch to beat Khali this week on SmackDown. You know, Big Show's been crushing people, but it just feels like it's seen as time to get back in the title picture. He hasn't been champ for a while, too.
I'd really like to see Big Show challenge Sheamus or CM Punk for their championships. I think Big Show is a great contender. I think if built up properly, like, it could definitely be a big feud that could drag a couple pay-per-views. Like, Big Show looks mean, and Big Show is believable. Like, I'm surprised that they haven't done it already.
Big Show Sheamus for the World Heavyweight title. That'd be pretty good. I'd like to watch that. Big Show Punk, though, too. I mean, that would be interesting to see at SummerSlam, Big Show versus CM Punk. Or maybe Big Show just cashing it in after the Daniel Bryan CM Punk match, and then Punk getting a rematch at SummerSlam. That could be interesting, too.
I definitely hope Big Show gets a championship shot in the near future. Like, I'm not big on this fact that people like to believe that Big Show is, like, washed up, he's too old now. Like, Big Show, in my opinion, is still the tallest and one of the toughest guys in WWE and should be fighting for the championship. Like, I don't understand this over-the-hill stuff put over guys like Brodus Clay. Big Show is better than that.
Yeah.
I think he's still got a great run ahead of him, if used properly.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a future Hall of Famer, and I think he's still one of the best in the game. I think he might be getting better over time. I like the vicious Big Show that we've seen as of late. I wouldn't mind seeing Big Show versus Punk for that WWE title. So, hey, I mean, how crazy, too, would it be to see Big Show climbing up on top of that ladder and grabbing that briefcase? That would just be a sight to see in itself.
I think it would make Money in the Bank a little bit more special if that happens. Just see something you wouldn't expect like that. No one would believe Big Show would win it, but then to take it, I think it's just as great as Christian winning it. Because, again, it's like one of those things where it's just you just don't believe in it, but then it happened somehow, some way.
And that match especially, right? Because I think we would both figure that John Cena would win, but Big Show winning that match would make things very interesting. I think it would change things up and would surprise a lot of people that are watching, which, you know, that's what you want to do, right? You don't want it to be predictable. You want to surprise people.
Yeah, I love it when it's just something shocking like that. I think that's the best. But unfortunately, sometimes they have their set plans, and I think they just believe in Punk Cena as a solid main event for SummerSlam that it's just not. That's going to happen. Like, you can't change that.
Speaking of unfortunate set plans, Michael Cole wrestled Jerry Lawler again on Monday Night Raw as the guest GM for the night was the mysterious Raw GM. The computer came back. Santino all night was searching for the computer and found who was behind the mysterious Raw GM. It was Hornswoggle. I mean, I guess I'm happy that they figured out who the mysterious Raw GM is, but I'm pretty sure if you go back in the weeks and weeks of Raw that the computer was running things, that you would find some instance where this doesn't all add up and Hornswoggle was screwed over and put in some match against a giant guy by the mysterious Raw GM. I don't think it adds up. I can't remember an instance where the mysterious Raw GM screwed over Hornswoggle, but the fact that it's Hornswoggle, I mean, I think they're just trying to shut people up like me who are saying, you know, you ran this for over a year and then you never had any kind of conclusion. Now they're saying, well, here's your conclusion. It's Hornswoggle. I think it's a cheap way out. And, yeah, I think it sucked. I think that whole thing sucked on Raw.
I think what's sad about the whole thing is that people really cared about who the mysterious Raw GM was. Like, there was so much interest, even after it was over, like, who was that person? Who's the one who caused all that misery? And then for it to be Hornswoggle, it's just one of the greatest disappointments in WWE this year. It's so sad to see that happen. It just shows that they just didn't care, and, oh, let's just put Hornswoggle on TV because it's something, and ha, 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 it's just a big joke in the end, and everything you got invested for was for nothing. It's just so sad to see something like that happen. It just shows that they just didn't care. in the end.
Yeah, which is really, it's annoying. I mean, it could have been Lord Tensai, right? That would have been cool. Tensai wasn't there the whole time, and then he can say, yeah, it was me, or, you know, why don't they bring Sting into the WWE and say, yeah, it was Sting. Sting was the mysterious Raw GM. But just, you know, for Hornswoggle to be the guy, it's like, okay, whatever. Very, very stupid. And then Michael Cole beating Jerry Lawler again after the Raw GM disqualified Jerry Lawler because, I mean, Lawler had won the match, but then Booker T threw Michael Cole in the ring, so the GM then reversed the decision, or Hornswoggle reversed the decision. Just a bunch of garbage on Raw this week. Not a great Raw. I thought SmackDown was better this week. Primo beating Darren Young with a roll-up for the 1-2-3 in a pretty good match. It was looking like Darren Young was going to win it over on SmackDown. Abraham Washington, his manager, AW, was on the outside with a microphone talking smack the whole match. I thought it was interesting. It was a different kind of gimmick, kind of reminiscent of Jimmy Hart when he used to have the megaphone, except they gave AW a microphone, and it went all over the building, yelling millions of dollars and get him, Darren, get him, beat down that Primo, stuff like that. It was good. It was. It's an interesting little gimmick, a little addition to the Abraham Washington character, and I think they're still trying to figure out who that is and who the primetime players are, but I thought that addition to the gimmick was good, and I was surprised to see Primo get that quick roll-up victory on Darren Young on SmackDown.
I definitely like the progression they're going with the primetime players. It's just that they gave them the number one contenders match too soon. Like, I understand you want to get them over, you want to make them seem credible, but to make them the number one contenders, and then they don't even wrestle for the tag team titles, that just ruins all sorts of, like, what's the storyline going for? Like, it's Primo and Epico, but the tag team's doing something else. Like, it doesn't really make any sense. It seems like they want the primetime players to be the champions, just not right now. So they're just going to be number one contenders for a while, and when they're ready, they'll get the shot.
Yeah, which made no sense, right? I mean, they won a Fatal 4-Way at No Way Out to become the new number one contenders for the tag team titles. R-Truth was out on injury. He comes back, and the primetime players still don't get their shot. Instead, in the pre-show match to the pay-per-view, which is kind of weird because for the pay-per-view tomorrow night, they only have four matches booked, and then they have a pre-show match. So I don't understand, you know, why not put this match on pay-per-view? It'll be Hunico and Camacho challenging Kofi Kingston and R-Truth at 7:30 on WWE.com and WWE's YouTube channel in the free pre-show match. I think it's weird that Hunico and Camacho are getting the tag title shots, and I think it's also weird that on a four-match card, you're not throwing this tag team title match on pay-per-view. I guess we're going to have a bunch of filler matches tomorrow night. You know, some Ryback, maybe some Brodus Clay thrown in there.
Well, I think WWE wants a solid pre-show match. I think they're going to get that with that tag match.
Yeah.
I think they locked it completely with that No Way Out match. That Clay against David Otunga was easily one of the worst matches in WWE this year. So I'm definitely happy they put the tag match on the pre-show. And yeah, like you said, I mean, we're just going to get some filler matches, just some matches out of nowhere. You know, I think it's mainly because the big matches, like, they want you to be focused on that. They want you to be focused on the ladder matches, the championship matches, because that's all that's really important.
And, you know, it's true. That's all I am focused on. Zack Ryder hosting SmackDown this week. He was the GM of SmackDown. I was a little bit disappointed in Zack Down. I figured he would put himself in a match and try to qualify for the Money in the Bank ladder match, but instead he was just booking other guys in matches. I don't think he did a lot there, and I don't think the WWE really capitalized on having a superstar general manage the show. It wasn't enough Zack Ryder. I mean, I don't think that he did a particularly great job, and I don't know if I wanted to see more, but, I mean, at least put yourself in a match to qualify for the Money in the Bank match. That would have made sense, but, you know, they just kind of had him in a couple backstage segments, and that was it.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but really, what can Zack Ryder do? He's not in the storyline, so it's mainly just for fun, really. It's just for kids at that point.
Yep, and speaking of fun, it'll be fun on Monday night to see the fallout of this pay-per-view, but also, John, the return of Mr. 619, Rey Mysterio, is set to return this Monday night. Very excited to see one of the all-time greats, one of the best wrestlers to ever live, and a future Hall of Famer come back to the WWE. It's been a long time coming, and I'm just happy because Monday night, I know I'm going to get to see Rey back on WWE TV. I hope he gets a match. I hope we see some Rey Mysterio, and I hope they do big things with Rey. I'm looking forward to Raw on Monday, and I hope what I have been hearing is true, and we will see Rey back on Monday night.
Kind of really disappointed that he's not in a Money in the Bank match, but it is great to see Rey back on TV because he's easily one of the most exciting WWE superstars. And just to have him back on television, it makes it fresh again. It makes it interesting because Rey, I think he still has a lot left to give. I mean, regardless that he gets injured quite a bit, like, I think he's still something that people want to see. And I think now, after coming back from suspension, he has a lot to prove.
No doubt, and I think he will prove it. He is Rey Mysterio, as I said, one of the best to ever do it. John, you're one of the best as well in the ring. When can people see you wrestle next?
I should be wrestling again on the TOW Summer Tour. I believe it's going to be the 27th and 28th of July. You can check out all the info at TOWLoot.com.
All right, so definitely check out Johnny North in the ring. Also, check him out online, www.wrestlinguncensored.net, www.ringsidereport.net. Johnny North doing some of the best writing on our website, reviewing all the DVDs, the movies, and all that good stuff for you at www.wrestlinguncensored.net. You can also download each and every one of our podcasts, be it Ringside Report Radio or Wrestling Uncensored, at www.wrestlinguncensored.net. I'll be back here with Kevin Big Tuna McHugh this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. here on TSN 990. We'll be recapping the Strikeforce show that's going down right now. Luke Rockhold taking on Tim Kennedy tonight for the Strikeforce Middleweight Championship. We'll recap that action, have some special guests for you, and get you set for UFC 149 going down 1 week from tonight in Calgary, Alberta. So definitely, you're going to want to check us out this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. for Ringside Report Radio, the MMA show. And then, of course, again on Friday for more MMA at 10 o'clock. And then 1 week from tonight, Saturday night, more Wrestling Uncensored. We'll have a great show for you next week. And we'll recap what happens tomorrow night at WWE Money in the Bank. Follow me on Twitter at Dave Simon MMA. Follow Jeremy Profit on Twitter at Jeremy Profit. He should be back with us next week. If not, we'll always have Johnny North, and it'll be all good anyways. So for Johnny North, I am Dave Simon, and this has been Wrestling Uncensored. Yeah. Cause you can't turn the booze off. You dudes is too soft. Why I'm up with you all? I might bark your ex or spit at the lock, but other than that, I don't be up with cats. Just me, Ty, be high, dug it like that. E, Dame, and Big, what's up with that? Y'all can never this jigger, get nothing for that. Other than a couple of slugs.